Welcome to another episode of Why Not You with your host, Derek Wells, where we talk with leaders and entrepreneurs who are doing what they love to do. They'll share insights into overcoming adversity, the systems they use, along with the power of personal growth, faith, and much more. Our goal is to empower you with personal growth, faith, and a plan for ultimate success. Now, here's Derek with another life-changing story.
Welcome, welcome to another episode of Why Not You. This is your host, D. Wells, and this is a podcast that dives deep into the stories of everyday people who are making extraordinary strides in their lives. Today, we are tackling the complexities of burnout, the power of saying no, and how to redefine success in a world that never stops moving. I am joined today by Dr. Naomi Hall, a former educator who turned consultant who has conquered burnout and is teaching others to do the same. Now she's going to share just valuable insight on the correlation between self-respect, saying no, and prioritizing personal boundaries to nurture our best selves. So we're going to go into the power of tracking God's blessings, the pivotal role of mindset in tackling stress, and the revolutionary scribble and scrap technique to vanquish negative self-talk. I love it. So anyone who's seeking to find balance, beat burnout, or ignite a fresh spark in their professional journey, this episode is a gold mine of enlightenment and encouragement. Remember, your journey to wellness and success starts with the simple question, why not you? Let's go. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on another episode of Why Not You. I am your host, Derek Wells, also known as D. Wells, and I am joined today by Miss Dr. Naomi Hall. Oh my gosh, with so check it out, ladies and gentlemen. The recovering educator helping educators thrive. Now, this just didn't come out of nowhere. She has a story behind this, and so we're going to get into it. And so I just want to welcome Dr. Naomi Hall to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
Thank you. So before we get started, I just want to start off with a quote and just let me know how this quote actually resonates with you and how it can actually impact other people's lives. So burnout is due to a lack of respect for your personal boundaries.
I love that because so much of burnout is related to your boundaries and not setting them, not sharing them, and not saying no.
And, you know, just with you saying not saying no, I heard someone mention, I think this was a couple of weeks ago, I can't remember who it was, and they said, if it's not a definite yes or like a heck yeah, yes, where I'm excited, it's a no.
Yeah. If it's not a heck yes, it's a heck no. Yeah. And I, similar to that, I've heard say no that you, so that you can say your best yes. Yeah. And so it's not saying no just to say no, it's so that we can say yes to the best things.
Yeah. And I know that could be hard for people. I mean, because you have so many people pleasers out there and they just want to do so much for everybody and try to impress people for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And I know that could definitely allude to like some type of burnout.
Yeah. And I'm learning I'm more of a people pleaser than I realized, but also in that people aren't thinking about you as much as you think they are.
Yeah.
Like we want to please people and we're worried what people will think about us. But at the same time, they're not thinking about us. They're thinking the same thing. What's everybody else thinking about me?
That is so true.
Yeah.
So do you think a lot of times we just like have like these self-limiting beliefs that we impose on ourselves? I mean, maybe it's like associated with just worry and like looking our best and presenting this image, but we're not really being authentic to who we really are.
Yeah, I think, so some of it is people pleasing. Some of it is just, there's so much image in our culture and we see other people. Because of social media, we're looking at so much all the time. We're judging all the time. We're comparing all the time. And so we're trying to live up to these curated images of people and things and expectations that aren't real. And when you, I try really hard to be very real in my social media, in my presence of like, anybody that goes on my social media, you know, you see me showing up in the morning after my workout, sweaty, no makeup, you know, in my workout clothes, like this is who I am. Right. And I think it's important that we show up that way in our authenticity and who we are. And when we don't, it's usually because we're concerned about what other people are going to think. We're concerned about living up to some sort of expectation that I have to have it all together. Mm-hmm. My house has to look perfect. And I've talked about this in my social media of like, listen, like, don't get any false ideas about me. Like, my sink is full of dirty dishes. There are dog toys strewn across the carpet. My microwave needs to be cleaned out. It's disgusting. I actually just did clean it because it was disgusting. But, you know, like, I'm very real. Like, I have right now I have clean laundry sitting on my bed that needs to be put away. Like, it's important for us to remember, like, nobody's perfect. And there is no perfect life to live. Like, we have this one life and we need to be who we are, who we've been called to be, living in our purpose. And not trying to live up to anybody else's expectations. Like, there are people that we want to be proud of us.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they want us to be who we are and who we've been called to be.
That's right. Huh? And I know your journey has not been the smoothest or the easiest, right?
No.
So how'd you get to this place where you actually, you know, where you actually became a consultant and you know, just working with other educators?
Yeah. So it's a very bumpy journey that I took and a long one. So my background is education. I am by training a teacher, educator, administrator. So I worked in education directly for 18 years. And I went right into teaching out of college. That's what I studied. That's what I intended to go into. I had no intention of becoming a business owner. I really thought education was it for me. Yeah. And in my first 10 years, first nine, actually, I threw myself into my career. It was my dream job that I had. I loved it. I did everything I could. I was at work late. I was there early. I did everything. Like, I was teaching in a small Christian school, so I was teaching all kinds of subjects, like five different subjects a day. I was coaching, all of this stuff, and then I was laid off.
Wow.
And it wasn't really until that point that I don't know that I would have termed it burnout at that point, but when I was laid off, like, that threw me into my first experience with deep darkness of, like, this is a dark time. Like, I don't know who I am without teaching.
Yeah.
I don't know who I am without walking down the hallway, rubbing shoulders with teachers and students and working with teenagers, which teenagers are my favorite.
Yes.
I know, it's scary to some people. I love it. I love it. And trying to figure out who I was without that. And so that was my first go round of, and also in the midst of all of this, I dealt with like 15 to 17 years of chronic illness in the midst of all of this. So continuing to show up, even though I felt like garbage and was like trying to figure that out. So I'm in this place of like, I don't know who I am without my career, because I was working in a Christian school. I was part of the church as well. So like ministry, church work, all kind of blended together. Yeah. And I had to figure out, and this is really important because it can happen to so many people in any career, of like finding your identity in something that can change, like your job. And when all of a sudden it's gone, you're like, oh no.
Yeah.
Like, who am I? What do I do? So finding my identity in Christ, as a daughter of Christ, and something that never changes, no matter what happens to me career-wise, no matter what happens to the people around me, that is a solid thing that I can put my identity in and it will never change. So whether you're a believer in Christ, in God or not, you've got to find identity in something that does not change. So that was really my first go around with burnout. Yeah. And then I left education briefly and went into pharmacy because I was a pharmacy tech for a year.
Yeah.
Because I was too expensive of a hire at that point, which is kind of funny because I was fired because I was too expensive. And so took that journey out of education to realize I needed to come back. And people spoke into my life of like, you know, you could be an administrator. And I was like, wait, what? Really? Yeah. And so taking that journey of like going back to school, earning my doctorate actually in education, getting back into education. I started out as a science teacher. So love science. And then went into getting my doctorate in educational leadership. I became department head, which meant I got to do be an administrator without the full pay of an administrator and without the full authority of an administrator, but I got to do all the work and teach. So it's kind of a weird, weird position. Doing that, loving what I was doing, trying to get into administration and just not getting there. Like nobody like allowing me in. This district I was in would allow me to fill interim positions, but like nothing more. And like trying to juggle all of that, one of the best things that happened with earning my doctorate was it forced me, like you'll hear this from teachers all the time, like I always have to take work home, like our jobs and our jobs are hard, but like we always have to take work home, no other careers have to do that, which I will state there are other careers right. that do have to take their work home with them that are doing notes and whatnot. I have a friend who is a PT and she was sitting at home at night doing her notes. So like trying to figure out how to earn my doctorate while working full time, while dealing with health issues, I had to figure out how to get my work done at work. And so that really was a blessing there of, all right, I have to do this. And then 2020 happened and it wasn't 2020 per se. It wasn't COVID. Like that was what it was, you know, like it was stressful for all of us, but the fall of 2020, I held like 5 different interim positions in like 3 weeks. Like the joke was when I walked through the doors, like, what's your title today? And yeah, I was like, good question, you know? So that was a super stressful time for me. Super stressful. Like walking into work and like walking to my office, closing the door and crying just because of all that was going on. There was toxic environment and stuff. So that leads to burnout. And trying to get a permanent administration position, they weren't letting me. I was being lied about, like all of this stuff going on. Yeah. It was really rough. And my body, when I get stressed, I put on weight like crazy. Really? Like I think I gained 30 pounds in a matter of months. And I just, at that point, I didn't like how I felt. I hated being in pictures. Like I would crop myself out of pictures. Like I hated it. Like nothing in my closet fit. And I had a friend who, so this kind of starts my journey into entrepreneurship. I had a friend who was part of Beachbody who was like, hey, for about a year, I was watching her and I watched her journey of like having kids, losing weight, having twins, losing weight. And I was like, okay. And like this community. Yeah. This community that she had. And I was like, And then I hit that point where I was just like, life is so stressful. I don't like where I'm at. I put on so much weight. I'm uncomfortable. Like all of this, like I was like living in leggings and tunic tops because that was like all that fit. And I'm still dealing with my health, but getting better and improving. And I was like, all right, listen, I am done just surviving. Like this is it. Like I am ready to take back control. Yeah. And I think that's a big piece in like the stress burnout feel is what do you have control of? And I said, all right, I'm going to take back control of every piece of my health that I can. There are some things I can't control, but everything that I can, I'm going to take back control. I reached out to my friend. And I was like, all right, tell me what you got. I'm ready. And so like, I jumped on board with her. Now that I look back, I'm like, holy cow, I can't believe that I started with the program that I started with. Like, it's a little bit crazy, but I did. I jumped in both feet, nutrition, fitness, mindset, and I lost that 30 pounds. And I was like, oh my goodness, I feel so good. Like I was watching what I was putting into my body. I was moving my body. I was already active prior to this, but like nothing was working. Like I'd tried all the diets, everything. And I was like, all right, something's got to give. And so when I did that, I was like, oh my goodness, like this is what it feels like. Like have energy. This is what it feels like to feel good and be able to keep up with life. Cause I was like at the drowning point of like just barely keeping my nose above water. And I was like, oh my goodness, like this is amazing. I have to share this. So really my first step into entrepreneurship was I've got to share how good I feel. Like I need to help other women. There are people out there who need to know keeping your nose just above water is not as good as it gets. Like you can make changes. You can make sustainable changes. I've been with Body 3 years now, I think. And it's been amazing for me. And so I was like, all right, time for me to become a partner with Body and like start sharing this. And so at that point, I had changed jobs. I was in district administration at this point, which was not necessarily what I wanted, but it was what opened up. And it really was a great change for me. I loved it. And I was like, all right, you can only go so far in education, finance wise and climbing the ladder. And I was like, okay, so my paycheck's only going to get so big. So let's start developing another stream of income. So that's what I was doing with Body, was developing another stream of income. And I didn't realize when I made that change, here's another piece of burnout. It actually kind of came, well, no, it was with that change into that job as being a district administrator. I knew I did not want to be a superintendent because that was like the next step. And I was like, nope, I'm out. Like, not for me. I know the amount of stress that goes with that. I know what it does to your life, like how consuming it is. Like you're reachable all the time. Like, and you're dealing with all that stuff. And I was like, no, I don't want that. And so I was like, huh, what's next? Like, I am a driven person. Like I always have my goals. I know what I'm going after. Like, I was like, all right, get the bachelor's degree, get the job, get the master's degree, earn, like I eventually went for earning my doctorate, like rise up, go into administration. And I was like, huh, okay. I don't know what's next. And I'd never been at that point before. And I was like, I have no vision. I have no goals, like personal career. I'm like, I don't know where I'm going. And Body opened that door for me of like, oh, like there's this whole new world of possibility for me. I never knew existed. And like, I got that vision again and that drive and those goals. And I was like, all right, like this, I know where I can go with this. And I wasn't planning to leave education. But April of that year, I walked into my evaluation, sat down, and the conversation started. So these are always hard conversations to have. So I'm just going to say it. We're not renewing your contract.
Wow.
And I was like,
they made it easy for you.
Yeah, they did. They really took, like, they made the decision for me, really. I didn't realize at that point, but I was like, 6 months into this job, this is what happens. I've had no reprimands, no issues, no conflicts with anyone. And I'm sitting there like speechless. I'm like, so what do I need to work on? Like, what did I do? Like next go round, like, what do I need to fix? And they're like, well, it just comes down to fit. And I was like, what?
What?
So then they're like, so, you know, go ahead. You can take the rest of the afternoon off. Feel free to go home. We know this is, you know, some challenging information. And I was like, so you're just like, I was like, I got work to do. Like I'm a professional. I'll finish my contract. I'll go back to my office, like shut my door, have my good cry and go on with my day. And so, you know, my immediate response is like, all right, what am I going to do? Like, I need to start applying to jobs. I need to figure this out. My contract is done end of June. That means no paycheck after June. Like, I need to figure this out. And I started applying to jobs and like, I was getting nothing, nothing. And like I said, like I have 3 degrees in education. Like I'm highly qualified, highly skilled. I'm getting nothing. And a friend called me and said, listen, Naomi, she knew I had been thinking about starting a business. I just didn't know what I wanted to do. And Body had been the step for me to start that. And she said, if you start your own business, we'll support you. And I was like, oh, okay, I need to take this seriously. And so it really was this progression of like the district letting me go and being like, thanks, but no thanks. We don't need you. And the friend reaching out and saying, hey, I'll support you. And I was like, okay, so if I start a business, what's it going to be? Like, there's a lot of things I can do. There's a lot of things I enjoy. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? Like, I'm going to continue with body because like that's going to give me some income while I figure this out. And I love it. And I was like, the recovering educator. That's who I am. Like, yeah. I have throughout my career had to recover from like losing my identity, losing myself in my career, burning out, giving myself all out for this job. And we have to remember like our jobs are jobs.
Right.
Like that is what they are. And so I was like, okay, that's who I am. I'm the recovering educator. And right now I'm recovering from it. It was politics was the whole thing there.
Yeah.
It was a money thing. I was expensive. Get rid of me, hire someone cheaper so you can, you know, get whatever. And so I was like, okay, I have fought my way back from burnout multiple times. I have dealt with health issues. I have experienced the extreme stress in education, the politics, like the, and it happens in any field. Like the higher you get in different fields, the more you realize like the dark underbelly of politics there. Uh-huh. And as a teacher, you're kind of insulated a little bit from it, but the higher up you get, you're like, things are weird and they can get nasty fast.
Yeah.
So that's really what led me to starting this business and helping educators was I had to fight my way back on my own and I had to figure it out and find the resources and the time and the money. And I was like, I can help educators do it faster.
Yeah.
I can help them. I understand what they're up against and what they're dealing with. And so that's really the long story of how I got to what I'm doing today.
Wow. So do you think like just with coming in as a new educator, teacher, I mean, you're all gung-ho excited, but you're probably just naive to a lot of stuff that actually goes on, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I could imagine. So you're putting in all this time and effort, then all of a sudden, what are you talking about? I'm about to get laid off. I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why should... And so what you're saying right now just kind of speaks volumes because there's so many like people that I know who are, they just kind of come to the point, why should I be loyal to you when you aren't loyal to me? And it's forcing people to kind of disconnect.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that I get that of like, kind of the, why should I show you respect if you disrespect me, which is, has often come up with my students of like, that teacher just disrespected me. Why am I going to respect them? I'm like, because it's about you and it's not about them. Like being respectful, showing loyalty is not about the other person. It's about who I am at my core. Mm-hmm. You can disrespect me. I will set boundaries, but I will treat you with respect no matter what, because it's who I am and it's a reflection of me.
Yeah.
And I'll be loyal and faithful in my job because I'm true to my word and I will do what I've said I will do. So I think it's really important to disconnect some of that.
Yeah.
And look at, I need to be faithful to who I am and to my word. And I will be respectful. I will be polite. I will be faithful to my word because that's a reflection of me. It's not a reflection of who they are and how they've treated me. That's a reflection on them.
Right.
And that's on them. I can't own that piece.
Yeah. That's good. That's so good. Actually, that made me think of this. I wish I could remember it off the top of my head, but it was a, man, I was reading something yesterday in Joshua, and it just made me think about, it was near the end of Joshua's life, but he was talking to the people, and basically it was like a defining moment for the people, because he's like, listen, you guys need to follow the laws, and you guys need to do this, and if you don't, it's not only going to affect you, but it's going to affect those people that you're associated with, so everybody's going to have to pay the price. Because of you.
Yeah.
But it starts with yourself, right?
Yeah. Man. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. The decisions we make don't just affect us, they affect the people around us. Yeah.
So just with like the whole burnout, and I know you shared a little bit about, but when it comes to a place where you're just like, man, why am I doing this? You're starting mm-hmm. to question if you're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. How does it affect like just you on a whole mental level?
Oh, there's so much that it affects. And one of the things that I see a lot of coming out right now is the quiet quitting part of like, I'm just going to draw back. And the way we see it in education is, nope, I'm not going to help during my plan period. Nope, I'm not going to take on any other duties. No, I'm not going to stay past my contract time. And one of the things, so Brendan Burchard is a high performance coach, and I use his app and I follow a lot of his material, and he talks about quiet quitting. And he's like, you're hurting yourself when you quiet quit, because you're no longer taking on a challenge. You're no longer pursuing excellence, and you're just drawing back and withdrawing from everything. And I think there's a difference between setting healthy boundaries and quiet quitting. Setting healthy boundaries, yes, I am full favor of that. Quiet quitting is just this, like, I'm going to step back and I'm going to pull back into my own space and withdraw into myself. And it's not healthy for you. Like, it's not addressing the issues. And that's part of the problem. Like, you're not being assertive for yourself and saying, I need to draw this boundary here. Yeah. I need to get my work done during contract hours. That's fine. But you got to get your work done. Like, this is your job, and these are your duties, and these are the things that you need to accomplish. So it can definitely affect you mentally in so many ways. And I talked about it a little bit of like that. I'm drowning. Like, yeah. I can't keep up. It's this feeling of overwhelm. And like, no matter how much I do, I just can't keep up. And so it's like, you get into this hopelessness. I'm the only one that feels this way. There's a lot of isolation of like, I just can't keep doing this. Like, and you're right. You can't. Yeah. Things have to change, but it doesn't necessarily mean you have to quit your job.
Right.
Like, you've got to figure out how to make it work. And that's part of my goal, is to help teachers be able to stay in this, because it is a calling to be an educator. Not everybody is called to this career. Not everybody can stand in front of, you know, a classroom filled with 5-year-olds or a classroom filled with 15-year-olds,
yeah.
you know? And the one called to the 5-year-olds is probably not called to the 15-year-olds either. You know, not everybody's called to this. So when you step away from your calling, like, that's a really hard place to be at, because then you really struggle with like, what am I supposed to be doing? And there are some people, it's time to step out. It's time to leave. I knew for me, it was time to leave the classroom. And I kept getting put back in. And it was not that I wasn't good at it. For me, it was no longer a challenge. And I need a challenge to like propel me. And there are people that like, if you don't let them continue to be challenged, they will withdraw. They will burn out. And actually, it's a different type of burnout. It's more of a rust out, because you're just like, there's no challenge here. Like, why? What do I like? How? What do I pursue? What do I go after? What do I do better? And I knew I could always do a little. Like, I can get better as a teacher. Yeah. It wasn't that I couldn't get better, but it just didn't have that challenge that it initially had. Mm-hmm. And so that's another piece of burnout that you're like, there's just like, there's no challenge there. Yeah. So I would like administrators, anyone who is a leader, like watch your people and the ones that need a challenge. And if they're not being challenged, watch out. You need to find a challenge for them, or they won't last. They'll be gone. They'll find a challenge somewhere else. And so it was time for me to get out of the classroom. Like, it wasn't a challenge and I wasn't being allowed out. And so I found a different job, and then they were like, see you later. Yeah. So I was like, okay, being in business is a whole different bucket of challenges. Right. And they don't end.
And this is funny that you talked about that just now, because it was when I was, you know, just kind of doing my devotional this morning, I just started writing. The last sentence I actually wrote, it was basically to myself saying, I need to get desperate again. Because, you know, you could get to that place where, okay, you've done so many things, or you've done what you've done or what you're doing so many times. So it actually, you get comfortable. And so, you know, it, And so now what's the next step, especially like when it comes to like social media stuff, right? Or how are you going to market? What are you going to do to make yourself different? What are you going to do to be a little bit more creative? And so it's like just thinking of something new, but also just stretching yourself. And I think that's when it becomes more real. And now you're actually getting back out of, you're actually getting out of that comfort zone, right? Now you're like operating on faith on a whole nother level again.
Yeah. Oh, I love that you talked about that. Like, this has required faith on a whole different level for me. Because like having been in education, like I went straight from college into education. I had a job right out of college. I've always had a paycheck. Like, except for that brief like time that where I was laid off the first time, like I've always had a paycheck. And like, I've always known where the next check is coming. And stepping out in business, I'm like, oh, I have to make this happen. Yeah. Like me and God, like I am dependent on him in a whole nother level running my own business because I don't have that. Yep. Paycheck is coming. Yep. The paycheck is coming. It's dependent on my business and how I run it and my marketing and all of that. And so it has grown my faith in such a different way and having to, like, I have verses set on my kitchen island to remind myself. It's those verses in Matthew. It's talking about the lilies of the field, how like not even Solomon in all his glory was clothed like them. How much more do you think God is going to provide for you? And we tend to separate that from, but seek ye first. And that's just a couple of verses later. It's like, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. And I'm like, okay, seek first. And I've shifted my day around, my morning routine, so that I am seeking God first in my day before I'm going about the other things. And I'm watching. I literally have in my notes on my phone, I have one on there, God's provision. And every time he provides, I'm like, right there, God's provision. I put the date and what he provided, or the amount of money that he provided, the contract he provided, and tracking God's provision in my life. Because there's also in Psalms, David's talking about, I have been young and I'm now old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken or begging bread. And I was like, okay, David lived his life and he saw that God provides for the righteous. So it definitely has been a stretching of my faith to do this, to be like, all right, God, you called me to this. You're going to provide, you're going to open the doors. You're going to carry me through this. And so, yeah, definitely. Like, it's been important for my faith, a big step of faith for me.
And I like the fact that you're actually tracking, because how many people don't track? And so they lose track of what God actually done for them. And because I mean, if you are tracking, now you actually have a list of everything that he's done for you, and you can always go back. Because sometimes we just get lost in our current circumstances and we're not reminded of what he's actually done for us. And it's like, oh my God.
Yeah. It's such a good reminder to be like, okay, what did he do in the past? I have a list. Yeah. And I haven't been doing it for real. It's been a couple months, I think, that I've been doing it. I was just kind of challenged to do it. And I'm like, wow, this list is getting long. Like, it's so cool to look at and just see the different things, the different ways he's providing. And it's just been a really cool thing to look at and to do and be like, oh yeah, I need to put that in there. Like, that is God's provision for me. Things that, like, you just at one point kind of just took for granted. Now I'm looking at it like, oh, that's a blessing. Like, that needs to go on that list. That's provision. That needs to go on that list.
Wow. And now just thinking about like everything that you're doing, and I mean, you're helping people just become more aware of who they are and what they are capable of doing. Do you think that's like one of your gifts or talents, just being able to connect with people and influence them? Or what would you say like one of your gifts or talents is?
I don't know that I ever thought about it as a gift, but I think it's the ability I have to listen and to be present for people. And then be able to look at what they're going through with another perspective. I have a client who came to me this summer. she had to leave her job last year because of burnout and mental health and all of that. And she really wanted to come back this year.
Yeah.
So I worked with her and she was able to go back full time this year. And she's still dealing with the stress and the burnout. But to be able to talk with her about, like, she has some of the most challenging students in her classroom that are in that school. And she's not in the most supportive school. Like, there, a lot of her colleagues on her team are not supportive. And so talking with her and helping her find those pot, like, our people are really important. So surrounding ourselves with important. So being able to look at that with her and be like, all right, so who is supportive? Who can you surround yourself with? Like, you're kind of stuck with these people and they're not fantastic. Like, you gotta deal with it. But who can you choose to be in your circle? Who can you choose to have lunch with? And these kids, like, she goes, they behave differently with me than they do with other teachers. I'm like, that's because you see them.
Yeah.
And you see who they can become. And you are speaking life into these students. And, like, you're being for them what people weren't for you. And helping her, she was like, oh my goodness, like, that changed perspective for her with those students. And when you see that, I think it's cool to be able to, maybe that's kind of where my gifting lies, of like being able to help you draw that out and be like, listen, like, this is what you're doing. Right. Like, this is your purpose. This is why they act different with you. Because I had that with kids. Like, kids would behave for me, but they didn't behave for anybody else. But it was because I saw them and I listened to them. And I listened to the silly stuff and I got in on the silly stuff with them. And so I had a lot of Hispanic students in my classes, and I don't speak Spanish. I took German in high school. So, like, you know, I know a few words, but by context, I can put together kind of what's going on. And I'd be like, I believe you just called her that. And they're like, you know what I said. Like, well, I understood. So, you know, like, making those connections with the kids and be like, hey, so, like, cool new shoes. Like, why are you walking like that? Well, miss, like, I can't crease my shoes.
I know, right? And,
like, noticing those little, I'm like, it's hilarious to watch them trying not to crease their new shoes. Hilarious. I'm like, do you know how funny you look the way you're walking?
Yeah.
And, like, having those real conversations, those real interactions. Like, I used to do it with students. Now I get to do it with adults and be like, look, don't you see the impact you're having? Like, look at what you are pouring into these kids and what that means to them. This is why they act different with you.
Wow. You just said it. Just giving them a whole another perspective on how how to look at things. And, but that's, when you think about, that's what Jesus did, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was with the people.
Yeah. And he,
not the ones who knew everything, but
yeah. I was like, Jesus hung out with, like, the people nobody else wanted to hang out with. And he saw their value. He sees our value. And I'm like, that's so cool. Cause you're right. He hung out with the publicans, the sinners, the prostitutes, like the people that nobody else wanted in their house. Right. He was sitting down and having dinner with them. And that's something that God's really worked on with me in the last year or two, of like, these are the people that I'm called you to, like your community. Like, it's not about going to church with all the well-dressed people.
Yeah.
Like, there are people out there that need the church, that need Christ to surround them and support them. And one of the things I've gotten involved in my church that has been just such a blessing to me is, it's called Family Promise where I live. And it's an organization that helps families who are housing insecure, who don't have housing, and they work with churches, and the people spend a week staying at a church at a time. So once a quarter, we have people staying in our church who don't have homes, and we're able to provide meals for them and provide a safe place for them to sleep. Like, you think, like, there are shelters, but think about families going into shelters. It's not always a safe place for them.
Right.
And this is the place where we're able to wrap around these families and support them and provide for them and show them the love of Christ. Like, this is what it's about. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what we're called to. Like, not just the, you know, the people that have it all together. I think that right. none of us have it all together, but some of us yeah. think we do, you know.
Oh,
but
wow.
yeah, right. Reaching those people.
Yep. And so I know, just like the, you know, what you were just saying, as far as, you know, reaching those people who are experiencing some type of burnout, how do you actually like communicate with them to actually to get them to open up? Because I know some people can actually be a little apprehensive as far as mm-hmm. sharing what's really going on the inside. How important is that, just to get them to open up and share that?
Yeah, it takes time. Mm-hmm. It takes patience. It takes me slow. I can be a very fast paced person. I'm right. a fast thinker. I'm a fast
let's
talker
go, let's
at
go.
Times. I'm like, bam, 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 let's go. But like taking the time one-on-one to, like, most of my one-on-one clients are virtual, and just sitting down and hearing their story mm-hmm. and absorbing it and listening.
Yeah.
Listening for what's not said, but what's mm-hmm. communicated.
Yeah.
And just that communication of, you're not alone. Like, you are not the only person who goes through this. Like, you're not unusual. Mm-hmm. Like, I think oftentimes we get this isolation, this feeling of like, nobody else is going through this. It's just me. Like, no one else feels this way. And so helping people see that you're normal.
Yeah.
And you're not broken. There's nothing, you know, like there's not something broken in you. There are just things that we need to work on to help you set up better systems, to help you change your thinking, to look at, like, mindset is a huge piece. Like, I work through 5 foundations of stress management, and one of them is mindset. And our mind can be our biggest enemy when it comes to how we live our lives, how we think about ourselves. There's so much. We live in a negative culture. Yeah. If it bleeds, it leads, mm-hmm. you know, all of that. But yet our mind can be the biggest negative piece in our lives, because we're constantly having a conversation with ourselves and talking to ourselves. And so often, I think we have like 50,000 thoughts a day, something like right, that.
I was just thinking about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And like 80% of them are negative. And I'm like, oh my goodness, like yeah. that is huge. So if we don't do the battle in our minds, mm-hmm. we're not going to be able to do the battle in our lives. And so working on that and working on the negativity and the voice that's in your head. And so oftentimes when I speak, I talk about, like, the first step is just noticing the conversation in your head. And oftentimes there's a specific voice. Sometimes it's our own voice in our head. Yeah. Sometimes it's the voice of someone in our past that spoke. I don't know what I want to call it. They spoke death over us.
Yeah.
Like, they spoke those words of negativity mm-hmm. and harm and hate and all of that in our lives. And we absorbed that, and we absorbed that voice. And so when we look in the mirror, we hear that voice. Or when we make a mistake, we hear that voice. You're so fat. You're so ugly. You're so dumb. You'll never figure it out. Why do you always do that? You always screw everything up. You know, all of that is in our heads. And we have to identify that, because that's not God.
Yeah.
Like, our Heavenly Father does not talk to us that way. Like, we are a beautiful creation of our Heavenly Father. Like, He did not make a mistake when He knit us together in our mother's womb. Yet we speak to ourselves that way. And we would never speak to our kids that way. Like, you would not talk to your daughter that way.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and if anybody else did, like, heaven help them, you know, like, we wouldn't accept that for anyone else, but we do it to ourselves. And so we've got to identify that. And I encourage people to put a name on that voice. It may already have a name. You can pick a name. I'm like, listen, you're going to talk to that voice. You're going to be like, listen, Felicia, we're done. We're going a different way. I'm like, bye, Felicia. We're going this way.
Yeah.
You know, put a name on it and catch that voice. Catch it. And it goes back to scripture of, like, taking our thoughts captive, not letting them run amok in our heads, but mm-hmm. God doesn't want us thinking that way. That's not how he created us. That's not how he speaks to us. And we need to catch that and stop it. And so one of the techniques I teach when I speak on this is called scribble and scrap. Mm-hmm. You catch that thought, you scribble it on a piece of paper, you crumple it up and you throw it away. And there's a study that shows that that actually helps you move on past that negative thought and move in a more positive direction. So just notice those negative thoughts and catch them, scribble them down and throw them in the garbage, because that's where they belong. They belong in the garbage.
That's right.
Like, God created us as amazing, wonderful creations of his own hand. And what a slap in the face of God to say what he created is dumb, ugly, not any good. Like, when you think about it that way, like, oh my goodness, what have I been doing? What have I been saying? Like, that puts a whole different perspective on it of like, it what am I saying about God's creation? Because I would never talk to one of my students the way that I talk to myself.
Yeah.
I've got to change that.
Now, thank you for joining me in this episode of Why Not You. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this was just part one. Part two is coming up next week. So I want you all to just remember that we cannot become what we need if we remain where we are. Y'all have a blessed week. Stay tuned for part two.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Why Not You. Remember, have faith and believe in yourself. God does. Also, subscribe to our channel and go to our website for more free content and life-changing stories at thewhynotyou.com. Until next time.